You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Amen. All right, so we've been unpacking in this series what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we walked through the first part of the series focused on what we saw was the theology of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And the second section is what we're in right now, which focuses on the application of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So let's review where we've been. There is a chart on the screen for you right now, a flow chart. Just want to remind you of this, just so that you're aware of where we've been, if it's your first time with us, and aware of where we're going. So there's the target. We want to learn what it means to follow Jesus Christ. We saw that the theology of what it means to be a follower of Christ is found in three key words: abide, connect, share. True disciples of Christ abide in Jesus Christ. We saw that in John 15. True disciples of Christ then connect with each other in the body. There's no such thing as a follower of Christ on their own in a corner. There's no such thing as that. And then true followers of Christ share with the world. These are three words that describe three fundamental relationships of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ have relationship with God, relationship with each other, and relationship with the world. And I want to remind you that all of these things are firmly rooted in the life of Jesus Christ. If you look at the example of Jesus Christ in the scriptures, what you will find is that Jesus was always about one of these three relationships all the time. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will find he's always in prayer, abiding in his Father, or he's connecting with the disciples, other believers, or he's sharing with the world. And so we saw that the Christian life is not me trying hard to live for Jesus, not me trying working hard. So many people are working hard to try to live for Jesus. It's not that at all. It's in fact the life of Jesus Christ living in us and through us. That's what we want. That's what true followers of Christ look like. That's what we're characterized by, the life of Jesus Christ flowing through us. And then we see the practical application of the Christ follower is in five G's. And we've been seeking to understand this thing that we're calling the 5G life. Practically, how do I abide in Jesus Christ? Well, we need God time daily. And we unpacked that last week. This week, I heard from so many people saying their God time was just so good this week. They've had sweet times with the Lord this week. And I hope and pray that's been the case for each and every one of you. And then the application of what it means to connect with the body. Well, what does that exactly look like? Well, two G's, gather time and group time. Gather time is what we're doing right now. We are investing in time gathered together as a body to connect with one another. And then we will unpack group time. And then what it means to share with the world. How does that look? Well, two G's there. Give time, what it means to share of our time, treasures, and talents with the body, in the body, and the world, and go time. Jesus gave us a mission to go, therefore, and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are calling this the 5G life, and you need to understand, loved ones, that every single relationship requires time. On the screen for you, following Jesus Christ then is all about relationships. It's all about relationships, and every quality relationship requires time. You see that unfolding in your own life. Every relationship that matters to you is a relationship that you invest time in. It's no different in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ followers. So we seek then to invest our time in the 5G life, and we want so much this church to be marked by that, okay? So today we're unpacking the second time, second way we want to spend our time. Last week was God time. This week is gather time. Say that with me, gather time. Okay, I want you guys to wake up. Say that with me, gather time, okay? One more time, ready? Gather time. Okay, good, good, good. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to unpack verses 24 to 25, and we're going to discover some amazing things about what it means to gather together, what God has in mind, what is in God's heart about the gathering of believers. And again, this is what we're doing right now, gathered together in this place. So important. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 to 25. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says this: And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Verse 24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Before we jump right into this passage, I want to give you a bit of the context, and then we're going to talk about some other foundational things as well. So what you need to see is there are three exhortations right here leading up to these verses in Hebrews chapter 10. The context of Hebrews 10 begins with an exposition of the superiority of Jesus Christ. The first exhortation in verse 22, if you notice it, we are told to confidently draw near to Jesus Christ. That's our God time. We are encouraged to draw near to him, not to pull back from him, not to shy away from him. We are encouraged to draw near to him, and we can do that confidently because of his blood on the cross. The second exhortation in verse 23, we're told to cling to what we know to be true about Jesus Christ. He calls it holding fast to the confession of our faith, of our hope. And then the third exhortation, which is our text for today, is found in verses 24 to 25. We're told how to seriously consider how to stir up one another towards love and good works. This is a consideration that each one of us needs to embrace. And what we need to see today is this. In the mind of the writer to the Hebrews, the only way we can do verse 24 is by being obedient to verse 25. The only way we can consider how to stir up one another towards love and good works is by making sure we don't neglect gathering together. Because who can encourage one another when they're not together? You can't do that. You have to be together. Verse 24 necessitates verse 25. In fact, verse 25 necessitates verse 24 as well. We have to be together. We have to gather together, and this is important. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, we get a glimpse of how the 5G life functions. So notice this on the screen. Our personal time with God, our drawing near to God, God time, always overflows into our corporate gather time with other believers. That's how it's supposed to work. So the writer to the Hebrews says, let us draw near. Let us draw near with confidence to the Lord. And don't forget, he says in verse 25, to meet together, to encourage each other, to grow together. And that means that our gather time, listen, what we're doing here today is not all about us. It means that there's a greater purpose to our weekly gatherings than just us. There is a larger thing at play than just me and my own little world here in this body. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us consider how to stir up one another and make sure you don't neglect to meet together, because there's something happening in the corporate gathering of believers that is bigger than just you and it's bigger than just me. And so I want you to write this down. The collective gathering of believers is not all about me. Let's get that in your heart for a second. What we're doing here today is not all about me as an individual. I'm going to show you something. Write this down. Gather time must be supremely God-oriented. Gather time must be supremely God-oriented. Before we jump fully into the passage I just gave you the context of, I want to make sure we understand something so foundational. Because some in this room will say, if I ask you the question, why are you here today? If I ask you the question, why did you come to church today? Why do you go to church? Some of you will give the answer like, I've come here to hear from God. Or some will say, I've come to be encouraged. Or some will say, I've come to learn something new. Or others will say, I've come for a sense of community. Why have you come today? None of these things are bad in and of themselves. They're just not a complete understanding of what it means to gather. They're not a complete understanding of the purpose of our gatherings here today. And without a complete understanding of why we gather here each week, our hearts will be derailed into thinking that walking into this place or any corporate gathering is really all about me and my needs and what I want today. The primary, ultimate purpose of our gather time is, listen, to worship God. It's to worship God. That's first and foremost. I want to lay that out to you first before we jump into Hebrews because it's foundational. On the screen for you, look at how the Psalms, the hymn book of Israel, the corporate worship book of Israel describes the gathering for worship. Psalm 95, 1 to 3, and then 6 to 7. I could have went to any psalm really to describe to you this dynamic, but listen to what it says. It says, oh, come, come, gather, come. Why? He says, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come, let us gather into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Oh, come, come on, come, come, let us gather. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. All throughout the Psalms, you see the main purpose of our gathering. It's not me coming to get something first and foremost necessarily. The purpose of our gathering is first and foremost to worship God. But so many of us have lost sight of the main supreme goal and purpose of our gathering. That's why some of us come to church and you're looking around. What's here for me? What's here for me? Who's here for me? Hey, who's here for me? You got something for me? No? Okay. See you later. Anyone here for me? Anyone got something for me? And we sometimes come into the worship gathering forgetting that the ultimate purpose of our gathering is not that the music is great. It's not that the seats are great. It's not that the preaching is great. It's not because the location is great. It's not because the service time is great. The main purpose of our gathering each week is because God is great. Why do we come here? Because God is great. Why are we gathered here today? Because God is great. And we respond to the worship leader of the Psalms who says, come, 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 let us worship. He is great. And that's got to change our perspective. You know, there's a lot of people out there shopping for churches. I don't like this one because it doesn't have this. I don't like that one, doesn't have this. This one, they do this. And preaching over here is good, but the music's not that great. You're just shopping around. You got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. We have it all wrong. The purpose of worship or our gathering is exactly that. It's worship. It's not what I can get for myself. And so that's foundational because our gather time, if we're going to understand this and how to invest time in this, our gather time must be supremely God-oriented. Let us make a joyful noise to him. Notice the joy. Let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Do you come in here with joy? Because you understand it's not about you, that God is great. Listen, if you start to get a perspective of who God is, you're going to come running in here every Sunday. I want to get to the house of God, and I'm going to open my mouth and sing with joy. I'm going to participate. I'm not going to sit back and wait. I wonder if the preacher has anything good for me today. If he doesn't, I'm just going to go on with my day. That's not what the gathering is. Make a joyful noise. Do we have reason for joy? In the midst of a world that's a disaster all around us, do we have reason for joy? Saved by grace? The debt of hell canceled? Sin debt canceled because of Jesus Christ? If I die right now in this minute, I'm going to be before my Savior in eternal glory with him forever. Do we have reason to lift up a joyful noise to the Lord? And why are so many churches just so dry and dead? People with their arms folded during singing. Do you understand what's happening here?
We've come for the worship of the great God of the universe, and he is worthy of my hands being raised and my heart open wide and my mouth open and worship and praise being lifted to him. But when we lose sight of the main purpose of our gatherings, we lose the awe and the wonder and the amazement of our gatherings, and we begin to view our gatherings as something that is primarily for us, when it's really ultimately for God to worship him, to submit to him, to be used by him in this wonderful, precious family of God that we get to be a part of. So here's the truth. Some of you came in here and you came all for yourself. You came all for yourself. Now is an opportunity to turn that around. Man, I've missed it. I'm coming in here wondering what I can get, how I can be encouraged, how I can be blessed, how someone can bless me. All of that happens in the church. But we can't forget our primary purpose. The collective gathering of believers is not all about me. Gather time must be supremely God-oriented. And then secondly, now we're going to dive into Hebrews chapter 10. Secondly, you can write this down. Gather time must be sacrificially others-oriented. Gather time is supremely and ultimately God-oriented, but our gather time, our time together like this, must be sacrificially others-oriented. It's so important. This is very crucial to understand as our church grows, because embracing this truth will absolutely change the way you view this Sunday morning gathering and every other gathering that happens in this church. And I'm going to encourage you right now to open your heart to God so that God can transform and change and enlighten your perspective as to why you come here every single week, and the body will be strengthened as a result. If you're here right now and your default thinking about church goes like this, listen, no one is caring for me. No one ever greets me. No one ever pays attention to me. I don't feel connected. I don't feel like I fit in. Listen to me very carefully. We love you so much. We pray for you. We long to see you feeling encouraged and connected and built up and growing. You need to hear this from me as the pastor of this church. We love you so much, but there's a problem with that kind of mentality. You know what it is? There's a lot of I's and there's a lot of me's. I don't feel, I'm not getting, no one is doing this for me, no one is doing this to me. Hear me, we love you. My heart, our hearts as leadership, we want everyone in this church to be part of it, encouraged, built up. We care about you if you don't feel like you fit in. We care about you if you don't feel connected. But, God's word wants to illuminate your heart with regards to your perspective. Because listen, if we all understand what Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 is saying here, then there's going to be very, very few people walking around feeling disconnected. You understand that? If we all embrace what's happening here in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, there will be fewer and fewer and fewer people feeling like they don't fit in. The writer to the Hebrews flips our thinking upside down. Notice it in verse 24. He says, and let us consider, stop for a moment. Let us consider. I want you to write this down. True disciples of Jesus Christ must connect, and they must intentionally consider one another. True disciples of Jesus Christ must connect and intentionally consider one another. The text doesn't say, and let us consider how to be cared for. It doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, you feel like giving up on the gathering? Let us consider how we can go and get the attention of others on us. It doesn't say that. He says something profound
that if it is obeyed, if it's understood, the result is a church family that's strong, that's connected, that's unified, every individual in it being cared for and loved. And let us consider. The word consider in the text means to think, to observe, to notice, to contemplate, to learn thoroughly, to consider accurately, or to perceive thoroughly. What are we called to consider? We are called to consider, here it is, one another. We're called to consider one another. When we come to the gathering, which is the church, corporately gathered, we walk in knowing that our primary purpose is to worship God, but this is how we ought to walk into church. We got to get out of the parking lot, or as you're walking from the bus stop, you got to get off and you got to walk into the church and wonder and think, begin to think, how and who can I care for today? How and who can I minister to today? Who out there? I need to think about this very carefully. How can I be a blessing to someone today? How can I stir up someone today? I need to think about this very carefully. That's what the word means, to consider. We don't walk in from the parking lot just kind of clueless, thinking about, you know, last night's dinner and just walking in here and just kind of like, I wonder what's going to happen today. No, you have to kind of have a vision for this. You have to have a biblical vision for this. When we gather corporately, we are called to gather and consider each other. Consider one another. And that's a far cry from what happens so often in the church. That means that instead of waiting for someone to greet you, you go and greet someone and serve them. If you go and greet someone, they're not going to run away from you. If you want so much to be greeted, why don't you go and greet someone? And I promise you, they'll probably turn around and they'll greet you back and they'll talk to you. That means that instead of coming to the gathering with a critical spirit, we come with a heart full of gratitude and anticipation of how God may use us. I'm so thankful God saved me. I'm so thankful that I'm redeemed. I'm so thankful that I get to actually experience the body of Christ when all over the world there are people meeting in underground churches. They can't gather like this. I'm so glad that someone's going to open the Bible and show me something from God's word today. I'm so glad that I belong to a church that really values that. I'm so thankful. And you walk in with gratitude. That means that instead of dissecting every aspect of the gathering that's not pleasing to you, and there's probably many aspects that are not pleasing to you, because the church is not perfect. Instead of doing that, we examine more closely our own hearts. Look at our own hearts. We're not going to dissect everything that's happening in the gathering that shouldn't be happening, the way it's going wrong, and all of this stuff. That is just not edifying to anyone. And it's self-centered. And it's what our culture promotes. You first. Take care of yourself. If it's not good, bail out on it. If you find something better, go to it. If you don't like that, bail out on that and go to something else. You don't need to commit. After all, there's so many churches. Just go to whatever one you want. Check it out. If you don't like it, go to another. What's the big deal? The big deal is it's self-centered. It's not God-oriented, and it's definitely not others-oriented. It's focused on self. How about walking into church and thinking to yourself, man, I really had an amazing time with the Lord this week. My God time was so good. I want to share what I learned with someone this week. I want to pray for someone. I want to look for someone that's struggling. I want to look for the person that's in a corner by themselves that has no one around them. I want to go to them. I want to put my arms around them. I want to pray for them. How about that? But we walk into church very unintentional about considering other people, but very intentional, maybe subconsciously, of only considering ourselves. And the writer to the Hebrews says, let us consider, think very carefully how you will today in your gathering stir up one another. So true disciples of Christ must connect and intentionally consider one another. Secondly, Write this down. True disciples of Christ must connect, and I'll write this down now. Passionately sharpen one another. Passionately sharpen one another. Verse 24 says, let us consider, now here it is, how to stir up one another to love and good works. The word stir up in the text means to provoke in a good sense. To provoke. It's used elsewhere in the Bible negatively, but here it's used positively. To provoke, to sharpen, to encourage an action or feeling. We need to remember that Hebrews was written to the persecuted Jewish Christians who often felt discouraged and tempted to give up, and they were tempted to give up on gathering together because perhaps for some of them it was costly for them to gather. If they were seen gathering, it would cost them. They would be persecuted. There's so many factors at play. And the reality is that in the midst of trials and persecutions and difficulties, it can become very easy just to give up. But the writer to the Hebrews is saying, no, you can't give up. You have to consider how to stir up one another towards love and good works. And you won't be able to do that if you're neglecting meeting together. You're not going to be able to do that. You're giving up. You're bailing out. No, the church needs you. And remember, a true disciple connects. There's no such thing as a disciple on an island. There's no such thing as a true disciple that likes to sit in their apartment and listen to the podcast by themselves. That's not a true disciple. A true disciple connects and considers how to stir up one another, to sharpen one another. And specifically, the writer of the Hebrews is warning against the decline of love in our lives. He's saying, you need to stir up one another to love, to love. Anyone discouraged in the room? You don't feel like loving anyone? You don't feel like giving? You don't feel like serving? Maybe you just had a rough season in your life. You just feel like you need to be receiving something and you want to give up because no one's giving you what you feel like you need? The writer to the Hebrews says, let us all, regardless, listen, he's writing to people who are suffering and persecuted. They're all in the same boat. He says, you're suffering, I know. You're persecuted, I know. But don't stop meeting together to sharpen one another and stir up one another to love. Help each other love better. Help each other to love one another. And he goes on, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And good works. Listen, I've been a pastor for long enough, and you don't have to be a pastor for long to see that people give up. People give up. You need help. We need to shoulder the responsibilities together, and people just give up all the time. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews says, no, don't give up. Consider one another. Consider how to sharpen one another towards love and good works. Consider how to encourage other people not to give up, but how to keep on serving. We need that. Maybe you're here today and you've been faithfully serving in ministry for years. You say, Jason, you don't understand. I've served for 30 years faithfully. And it's just now that I feel like giving up. I'm allowed, aren't I? Maybe you've experienced that something that discouraged you or someone opposed you. You experienced blatant hypocrisy or you're struggling with sin. You're discouraged and you feel like giving up. The writer to the Hebrews is saying, you can't. You have to consider now every single person how to stir up each other. Look for those people who are weary and tired. You got to go to them and you're weary and tired too. But listen, if the whole body is doing this, someone's going to get to you. Don't worry about you. Someone's going to get to you. You got to find someone and consider how to stir them up to love and good works. And if the whole body embraces this, listen, you're going to be ministering to someone and there's going to be a lineup behind you tapping on your shoulder. How can I stir you up? How can I encourage you? How can I bless you? But if everyone is walking around like this, you're going to serve me? 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 Everyone's going to be walking around like nobody's meeting each other's needs. You see how brilliant the body of Christ is designed by God. See how beautiful the scriptures are. The gathering is supremely God-oriented. It's for Him. And it's got to be sacrificially others-oriented. And if everyone is God-oriented, everyone, if everyone is God-oriented and everyone is others-oriented, everyone will have their needs met and everyone will be cared for. That is God's wonderful design. The question is, are you willing to sharpen others? Are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to serve? If you're discouraged today, I want to encourage you. This week I was praying for you. Praying for you. If you're discouraged today, I want to encourage you. I want to consider you right now. I want to consider how I can stir you up. I want you to see in my preaching, that's my way of considering how to stir you up. That's what God has given me to do. That's my way to tell you, don't give up. Keep loving one another and keep serving one another. Don't stop doing good works. I want to bless you and encourage you today. Because many in this room are tired and weary and discouraged, and we need each other so much. And true disciples of Christ must connect and intentionally consider one another. We must passionately sharpen one another. You got to be passionate about this. You have to have a vision for this. You have to be in your God time during the week, in your devotional time, in your God time. You got to be thinking ahead. Lord, how can I consider people in my church so that when we get to gather together, what do you want me to say to them? What do you want me to do for them? How do you want me to serve? There's people in our church that are doing that all over. My wife and I are even recipients lately of people in our church who are considering us. Considering us, going above and beyond for us, being sacrificial towards us. Why? I look at them like, why are you doing this for us? They're considering how to stir us up because even pastors get tired and discouraged. We're so blessed by that. And God wants this type of blessing to infiltrate this entire body if we understand the magnitude and the significance of our gathering time together. It's for God first, and we need to be sacrificially others oriented. And then now, write this down. True disciples of Christ not only are called to intentionally consider one another, passionately sharpen one another, we are called to connect and, watch this now, firmly commit to one another. Firmly commit to one another. Notice verse 25. I'll start with verse 24. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Here's verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, it's important to realize that the writer to the Hebrews actually wrote this as a warning against apostasy. This is a warning. In the writer's mind, this issue of gathering together is so significant that to abandon the local assembly meant to turn your back on Christianity and, in their context, to revert to Judaism. No, it's a big deal to gather together because that's how God designed his body, to be together, to function as one body, to connect together. And so we need to firmly commit to one another, and some things never change. There are people, just like in the days of the writer to the Hebrews writes to, there are people who are neglecting the gathering. They're neglecting it. They come when it feels right. They come when they're not feeling like sleeping in. They come when nothing better is happening. They come only when it suits them. Do you understand? That's not how God designed us to think about this thing called the church. And this gathering. You can't neglect to meet together. You need each other. And I'm telling you, we would feel this if we were living in one of those countries where persecution was rampant. You would feel this. You would feel your need when all of a sudden people are breaking into your house trying to arrest you and your family for being believers. You're thinking to yourself, where's the body? I need help. Where's the church? I need support. Oh, I'm telling you, in that day, the prayer meeting is the place you want to be in that day. Don't neglect to meet together. We have to firmly commit to one another. And we live in a day in a society where commitment is just not there. As I told you before, even among evangelical Christians, you go to that church when it feels good. That church has a special event. I'll go there. Oh, guest speaker over there. I'll run over there. And but were you committed? Are you committed? Are you committed to these people? Forget about the name of Harvest. Are you committed to these people? Look around. There's beautiful, precious people in this room. Are you committed to them? Because you're committed to God. Because we need each other. The temptation for the Hebrews, and the writer to the Hebrews was addressing, was to stop going to church because their lives were in danger. But the writer says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Essentially, no matter what the cost, is what he's saying, you must commit to the gathering in order to encourage one another, to sharpen one another. And all the more as you see the day of Jesus Christ returning. You see the sense of urgency there. Jesus is coming back. Do you understand? It's like the writer to the Hebrews is saying to the people, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you giving? Why are you stopping meeting together? You have to get together. Number one, God is worthy of worship. Come together and worship. Number two, Jesus Christ is coming back. People are dying all around us. People are dying without a knowledge of the gospel. You need to come and gather and encourage one another and stir up one another towards love and good works and see how together we can advance this gospel in this city and beyond. Can't be sleeping in. It's too early. Really? Ah, they don't need me now. You know, they have enough people there serving. Whatever. No, no, you don't understand. You don't get it. The theology of Connect is rooted in the analogy of the body. The body is made up of many members. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Each one of us are a member and individually members of the body. And therefore, each one is important. We went through all of that. Therefore, practical application, gather time is massively important. It's not just like, yeah, we want to get a bunch of people in here because it's fun to do that. No, do you understand? People in the city are dying. People in Toronto are dying. People in the city are going down. The false teachers taking people astray all over the place. Where are God's people who will come together to worship him because he is great? Where are God's people who come together and submit themselves to the word of God so they can be empowered and go out into this world in your work, in your school, on your university campus, on the bus, in their grocery store, your neighbor? They're all dying. And God wants to use you and empower you, and he empowers us. He encourages us through each other in our gathered time together. On the screen for you, Ephesians 5, 16, 15 to 16 says this, look carefully then how you walk. Let's just do that for a second. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. One of the ways true disciples of Christ use their time, loved ones, is by gathering together. That's one of the most practical ways you can live the 5G life. Did you know that? Go time daily, gather time weekly. It's one of the most practical ways you can live the life of a true disciple. And today, God is calling each of us as part of this church family to firmly commit to one another, to get our eyes off of ourselves and to put our eyes onto him and onto the needs of other people. When you get a church gathered collectively that understand this, what you have is a very powerful church. You get a bunch of people gathered into a theater who's like, me, powerless, divisions, problems, conflicts. You get a bunch of people gathered into a theater like this who are like, God first, you are great. That's why I'm here. You died for me. I give you my life. And I'm looking around at all these people. I want to serve. I want to lay out my life. I want to spend myself for you, Jesus. Powerful. Powerful. Lives changed in that church. Lives being used in that church. Community surrounding that church reached for the gospel. Families restored, marriages restored. Powerful. What do you want to do? You want to walk around complacently, apathetically, or do you want to firmly commit to Jesus Christ and to the body? Gather time. Gather time is one way we live this 5G life, making the best use of our time. Did you know there's probably no better place you can be than right here, right now, on this Sunday morning? No better place. Why? To worship Jesus. Is there anything better than we can do with our time? To worship Christ and gather corporately? Is there anything better? Nothing better. Nothing better. And so I'm going to give you two clear opportunities to embrace wholeheartedly this morning. Two clear opportunities for gather time. And if you understand this, this is not rules, this is not rituals, this is not check marks, this is not I go to church because it's a good thing to do. This is a theological grasp of what it means to be a disciple. I am part of the body. Practically, I gather with the body. That's one way that I am used by God and blessed by God and encouraged by God. Two clear opportunities for us to embrace wholeheartedly this morning. And I pray, and I've been praying, you would embrace these things. Number one. I will commit to the weekly worship gathering. It's gather time. God is worthy. Don't commit to me first. Don't commit to each other first. We come here because God is worthy. When you wake up in the morning, you feel like, man, that service is a bit early. I got to find a church that meets a little bit later. Is God worthy, though? Is God worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy to come to worship together? Is he worthy for us to play our instruments for him? Like Psalm 150 says, praise him with the resounding cymbals. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Is he worthy? He's worthy. And so we can commit to that. Scripture shows us that the primary reason for our gathering is always the glory of God, because he is worthy. And because he is worthy, we come full of thanksgiving in our hearts. And we want to make the best use of our time. The podcast won't do on its own. It won't. That's not the family of God. The TV preacher won't do. It's not the family of God. The Bible clearly teaches us it's the habit of some to neglect the gathering. Maybe you're looking around, you know there's some people that are not here that, for whatever reason, how is God going to use you to encourage them? To make sure they don't give up on gathering together. Firmly commit to the weekly worship gathering. Let me say this. Why don't you set a goal for yourself? Why don't you set a goal, 100% participation in the weekly service? Why don't you say that? It's not a check mark. It's not a rule. Why don't you say, I'm not going to let lesser things get in the way of most important things in my life. Aren't you tired of just letting little things that don't matter get in the way of things that do matter? Aren't you tired of that? I'm tired of that in my own life. So often I look at my days and I'm like, I spent time on this, this, and this. These things don't really matter. I should have been doing this. Well, on Sunday morning, let's get the conviction in our hearts. I want to be there. I want to be there 100% of the time to consider how I can encourage and stir up one another. And people in this place towards love and good works, and of course, because God is great. Two clear opportunities to embrace wholeheartedly this morning. If you embrace this, it's going to change our church. I will commit to the weekly worship gathering. God is worthy. And then this, I will commit to the monthly prayer gathering. We are needy. I will commit to the monthly prayer gathering. We are needy. Let me just tell you, this is not legalism. This is not a check mark. I'm just sharing with you what I believe. If we would commit to these things, you and I would begin to see God work in wonderful ways in our hearts and in our church and beyond. Not only the weekly worship gathering, but the monthly prayer meeting. Now, on the screen for you, at Harvest, I want you to understand our focus is not a quantity of disciples, but a quality of discipleship. You have to understand that. Our focus is not on a quantity of disciples, but a quality of discipleship. But I have to tell you, I care a lot about the quantity of people that come to our prayer meetings. Why? Because it shows me the quality of disciples we're making. I'm not trying to bring people just off the street, random people, come to our prayer and let's just fill a room. No, I'm trying to communicate with the people God has entrusted to me, and I'm trying to say what we're doing here is not trying to fill seats, we're trying to build quality disciples, and I know that we are full of quality disciples when the quantity of disciples in the prayer meeting reflects it. And so I just got to tell you, I was just encouraged by our last prayer meeting. I was just so encouraged. I was pretty blown away. Look at the picture on the screen for you. Meeting at St. John's. That's full. Full house. Full house. Full house. Praying, worshiping, seeking God. I need you, Lord. We're nothing without you. Step into our circumstance. Step into our lives. Build us, strengthen us, shape us, teach us, use us. This prayer meeting right here, this has to grow. And I'm calling you, true disciples of Jesus Christ, connect. And one of the ways we can connect with each other is by prioritizing our gather time together. Weekly like this, monthly like this in our worship and prayer nights. I was so blessed by that. I walked to the back and I was like, hey, people are here all the way to the back. And it's like I'm walking up and down the aisles and it's fervent prayer. And I'm just, thank you, Lord. People are catching the vision. People are getting this. Are you? You say, I get nervous at prayer meetings. It's okay. It's a safe place. You don't have to stand up and pray in front of everybody. You don't have to do anything that's going to make you uncomfortable. It's a safe place. But if you want to set your heart on God, if you want to see God do something in this church and in this city that goes beyond anything we could even dream of or imagine, December 4th is our next prayer meeting. There's a slide on the screen for you right now. December 4th, St. James United Church. There's a balcony in that building that hasn't been filled yet. I'm praying on December 4th we fill that balcony with people who will pray, with prayer. Because Jesus says in John 15:5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're taking this message to heart and you're thinking to yourself, I want to commit, I want gather time to be significant in my life, then I'm encouraging you, you make a note of that date. You do whatever you have to do to get there. First Sunday of every month is our prayer meeting. We're trying to get people in that place to seek the Lord and pray with us so that we can see God do the things that only he can do. When we started this church, I opened John 15:5, 20 people in a room, and I said, we must be a church of prayer. This remains the vision. It must happen. We must be a church of prayer. We must fill auditoriums with prayer, because if anything's going to happen in our city, it's not going to be because Jason's a great preacher. It's not. It's not going to be because the worship team sings so beautifully. It's not. It's going to be because God decides to step in and do a work that only he can do. So I'm praying and believing that December 4th, we'll have a glorious night of prayer. And you will commit to that. And you will commit to gather time. We all have the opportunity to get on board with what God is doing. And he's doing some amazing things. I wish I could stand here and tell you everything that I witnessed even this week. But here's the question. Are you going to get on board? Are you want to live the 5G life? How's your God time? Now you're here today. Now how's your gather time? Are you committed? Are you committed to one another? Are you committed primarily, first and foremost, to the worship of the living God? The powerful church who understands the significance of our gather times together. I want you to pray with me right now. You bow your heads. Worship team's going to come. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper in a second, but I just want to challenge you a bit further here. You wonder to yourself, well, what's all this talk all the time about coming to church and coming to the prayer meetings? It's getting a little bit exhausting. I'm telling you, all this talk is because we love you. And we know that it's in obedience to God's word that we find our hearts satisfied and fulfilled. You may wonder sometimes why we ask you to fill out the connection card each week. It's because we want to strengthen our gather time. It's because we love you. It's because we're thinking to ourselves, we need to know who's here. God has given us the enormous task of shepherding this flock. We want you to fill out those connection cards so that we can know you, so that we can pray for you, so that we can love you, so that we can find more strength in our weekly gatherings. And so if you don't fill that out, I encourage you, here's the vision of the connection card. Fill it out so that we can know you and pray for you and love you and connect with you. And some of you say, I don't want to be connected with. Well, I say, are you a true disciple? Because true disciples abide, they connect, and they share. Now, I love the opportunity to be able to end this time by celebrating the Lord's Supper. Because really, what is going to motivate us and compel us in the Christian life? Is it not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Is it not the grace of Jesus Christ? What will cause you to run to the worship service each week with a heart full of gratitude and joy? What will cause you to say, I'm not missing this for anything? Is it not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins? Is it not his resurrection from the dead? What will make us run to this place and seek to sing with great joy? Is it not that we sing to a risen Savior? What will make you say, I'm committing to the prayer meeting? What will make you say, I will pray? I will be a man or a woman of prayer? Is it not that our Savior hears us? The one who is united to us and us to him. The one who lives in us. The one who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In a few moments, you're going to hold in your hands the elements. Two cups, one on top of the other. The top cup representing the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The bottom representing the body of Jesus Christ. This is a time of examination and reflection, repentance and confession, to think to yourself how awesome the sacrifice of Christ was for you. And if you're here in this room today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can let the elements pass. We are warned in Scripture not to participate in these things loosely or taking these things lightly. This is a serious thing we're doing right now. And if you are a believer in Christ today, participate. Mourn over sin, but find comfort in the awesome mercy and grace of Jesus that took him to the cross. Let me pray. Father, we seek you now and we desire so much that this time is a time that is so meaningful for us. Children of God, saved by your grace. Work in our midst, Lord. Do amazing things among us and in us. As we reflect even right now, your arms that were stretched out, hands nailed, feet nailed to the cross for us. In Jesus' name.